So today we're excited to welcome our special guest, Hayley Smith from Northwest HIV Support, CIC. Hayley is here to shine insight about the vital work her organisation does and support they offer to individuals and families in the region, and more specifically throughout Halton. So grab a cuppa, get comfy, and let's get started. So welcome, Hayley. Can you start by telling us about your HIV support group and the mission behind it?
Well, Northwest HIV Support is a community-led organisation dedicated to supporting people with living with HIV, their families and friends, and the wider community. So our mission is to offer a safe, non-judgmental space for individuals to access support, education, resources, and we work tirelessly to combat stigma, educate the public, and foster understanding and acceptance.
Absolutely brilliant. So what inspired the founding of this group, and how has its role evolved over time? I've known you for a couple of years now, and obviously I can see, you know, how far you've come along in that short space of time. So what inspired that?
Really, the organisation was inspired by myself, due to a personal journey. So it was a personal journey of myself, really, that led me needing to test for HIV. And it was during lockdown, so there was very limited access to different places, obviously because clinics were closed and things. But then afterwards, after I'd tested, it made me realise that is there anything out there for people for emotional support, really, and just to like get to know other people maybe that are living with HIV?
Yeah, because I think it's important that people know that are listening today, your organisation isn't clinical in any way, shape or form.
No, it's not clinical.
It is all based around support and supporting that individual.
It is.
And being there as a friend, holding their hand, listening to them, and providing that advice and guidance for them to go forward.
And it's all non-judgmental, all private and confidential. So anything, you know, anything that we can help with, we've helped in the past with mothers and that are about to have babies, with things for the baby and anything really, we're here. Or just if somebody needs to come in and just have a friendly chat.
Brilliant. So what kinds of services or programmes do you provide to individuals living with HIV?
Well, we offer one-to-one counselling. So we have a counsellor that works with us who's specialised in lots of different areas, including HIV. We add additional topics. So we run groups, we have drop-ins, but when I say we have drop-ins, people would have to get in touch with us to find where we are because we don't advertise where we are due to stigma. We offer training. We offer support with ladies who are HIV positive but are going through the menopause as well. And basically, we can buddy up if anybody needs any support with hospital appointments or anything like that. But it's all non-judgmental and all private and confidential.
Right, so you offer quite a lot of services there. Very busy. Hi, good afternoon everyone, I'm Cathy Mack and you're listening live to Radio Halton, broadcasting live from Halton Hospital this afternoon. If anyone's got any questions for Health Watch Halton, for myself or for Hayley, around anything that we're going to be speaking about today, please get in touch. You can text our WhatsApp on 07450 839 108. Or if you're sat at your computer listening to us today over the internet, you can log on to our homepage. So if you go to www.radiohalton.org, if you scroll right to the bottom of our homepage and you will find a contact form there. Complete the contact form, let us know who you are, what question you would like answering, whether it be for myself or Hayley, and then just press the submit button and that will come straight to us in the studio today. So, Hayley, moving on. Can you please tell the listeners what educational initiatives does the group offer to help raise awareness about HIV prevention, treatment and stigma?
Well, we deliver training programmes. This is a new thing that we've just started. So we deliver training programmes to businesses, care providers and community groups to promote HIV awareness. Also, our resources are to prevention, so preventing contracting HIV. So, you know, we try and educate on that, around that. And also stigma. We have a lot of campaigns running about stigma, and we get involved with different things that come up to recognise World AIDS Day. So we get involved with World AIDS Day as well, and educational efforts to get out there.
Right, so a lot of awareness.
Yeah, a lot of awareness.
Because I think that there is still, you talk about stigma, there's still a lot of stigma.
There is.
Within the community. And I think a lot of it is down to education.
Yeah.
And people just don't know, do they, the facts, you know, about how it's transmitted, signs and symptoms, all things like that.
Yeah.
I think there's so many myths out there and people do need educating.
I definitely agree
with that. So can you tell us a little bit about how you support families and loved ones of people living with HIV as well?
We offer counselling to the loved ones as well, because it's not just the person that's been diagnosed with HIV. The family might need supporting as well through that. So we offer that for the families and friends, and also just really to be there, like to offer empathy. They can come into our drop-ins or our group sessions to get involved, to try and, you know, take their mind off things, and also we can give them a bit more information on people living with HIV so they know how to help their loved one.
So you are addressing really some of the mental health needs as well of both the individual and the families for that support. But that's great, that. And can you tell me, have you got any specific events coming up just for Northwest HIV? I know we're going to talk a bit more about World AIDS Day shortly, but is there any events that you might have coming up?
Well, we've got the World AIDS Day event, which is on Sunday, because World AIDS Day is the 1st of December every year. But in February, it's National Test Week.
Right, okay.
So that's running in February. So we're hoping, we're not 100% sure yet, but we're hoping to have one of the AIDS Memorial quilt panels coming to show at St Andrew's Church in Runcorn. I'm just in talks with the AIDS Memorial quilt. So we're just waiting to see.
Right, brilliant. And so on your actual support group itself, what message would you like to share with our listeners about HIV and how they can support people in their lives who may be impacted by it?
Well, just really to say that HIV is no longer a death sentence for one. And with the correct treatment, people can live a healthy life. They can go on to have children. Obviously, their viral load will become undetectable, so that's untransmittable, so it can't be passed on. And also, just to be there and not judgmental, and just listen to somebody. If somebody confides in you and says that they're HIV positive, be there to listen. Never ask them how they acquired HIV. Never talk about it. Always let them talk to you about it, and always ask, are they happy to talk about it? Never start the conversation.
So it's basically treating it almost like a disclosure then, isn't it?
Yeah.
You would never ask.
No.
You would just wait until they disclose that information to you.
Yeah.
And then obviously be a friend, listen to them, and then provide any help and support that they might need.
Yeah.
Brilliant. That's great. Myself and Hayley, we've actually just been talking during that song, and she's just been explaining to me that some of the songs on a playlist today, they have actually got a meaning behind them regarding the connection between HIV or AIDS. And so, Hayley, regarding the song that we've just listened to, would you like to tell the listeners what that was?
Yeah, in the AIDS epidemic, the first cases of HIV were around in San Francisco. So the connection there right. was San Francisco.
Okay. So going on then, we're going to move over now away from obviously the HIV support group, which you run on a daily basis. But we're going to talk about an event that you've got coming up for World AIDS Day.
Yeah.
If you would like to tell our listeners all about the importance of World AIDS Day and why it continues to be relevant today.
Yeah, World AIDS Day is observed all over the world on the 1st of December every year, and it's to bring global campaigns to try and end new cases of HIV, and to obviously for human rights and going forward. And this year's theme for World AIDS Day is Take the Rights Path. So it's highlighted the importance of human rights. This is by the WHO that has done this, and the national and the UNAIDS, and eradicating stigma. So it's all about promoting inclusion and people's human rights. And our theme this year is to stamp out stigma.
Right. And just for anyone that doesn't know, WHO is the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
Just in case people are thinking, what's that mean? Yeah, so WHO means World Health Organization. And you're talking about the stigma. So how does World AIDS Day help in reducing stigma around HIV, AIDS, and why is this stigma still so prevalent?
Well, the stigma, World AIDS Day, hopefully will help to break down some of the barriers around the stigma and remember those that have lost their lives to HIV, AIDS-related illnesses, and also to bring people together to stand with people that are living with HIV today and to see how far we've come. A lot of people living with HIV often say that the stigma is actually worse than the virus to live with because of the wonderful medication that's around now. But it's breaking that stigma. Stigma can be really damaging for people. So World AIDS Day is a big thing for people to come together and maybe stand with people that are living with HIV and, like I say, remember those that are lost.
Yeah. And I remember going back to, the early 90s, and late 80s, I had several friends who I lost, and thinking back there, how much we have come along. But like I say, there's still an awful lot of work that needs to be done out there. I hope that everyone does get behind it, and you know, and we can see improvements every day,
yeah.
Hopefully. So would you like to tell our listeners about the event itself?
Yeah, so on Sunday, we'll be holding a vigil, candlelit vigil, at St Andrew's Church in Runcorn. This will be our fourth vigil. So on Sunday, we will start by lighting candles outside the church, and then we'll go into the church, and then there'll be readings and music, and then there'll be a light up remembrance tree where people can write a message for any loved one. It doesn't have to be HIV related, and it's just to remember anyone, but obviously to remember people lost, who have lost their lives.
I know, unfortunately, I can't come to this year's event because I'm going to be on holiday. But last year I did go to your vigil last year, and I think if anybody is out there, it is a really, really good thing to support, come along and support that event. So for people who want to support the fight against HIV/AIDS, what are some ways that they can get involved on World AIDS Day?
Well, they can come along to the vigil, or they can wear a red ribbon to show that they are supporting. There's always like charity events that are going on up and down the country, all over the world. So if they like to get involved with that, Terence Higgins Trust, they have a lot of things happening around World AIDS Day too.
I think what we've got to remember as well is, obviously it is what it says, it is World AIDS Day.
Yes, so, it's all over the world. Yeah,
all over the world, and there'll be activities going on everywhere for everyone. But if you're in Halton or even Warrington, local area, come along and get involved in that. We will put the information on the website about that, so you can see, if you do want to come along, the address and all that information will be on there. So can you tell me, how does World AIDS Day serve as a day of support and solidarity for people living with HIV, and what resources are available to them?
Well, it's a day to remind people living with HIV that they're not alone. Organisations like ours provide counselling, support groups and educational resources year round. Also, you've got, like I say, you've got other organisations across the country and the world, but across the country as well, in different areas that are out there to support emotionally. You've got the sexual health clinics where you can go and be tested, and I'm sure they offer support as well to people who have tested positive. And it's just about really how you can support people that are living with HIV. Some people might have been diagnosed many years ago, but they've never, thought to get that support. So
yeah, so you think there might be a lot of people out there who are living with it, who have got the diagnosis, but they've never made that disclosure to any support groups or maybe anybody outside of their actual family.
Yeah, because it can be quite isolating. So some people might just hide away, or, are not ready to tell people because of the stigma.
So welcome back, Hayley. So we're going to finish off this section on the World AIDS Day. And my next question is around education. So how important is education in the fight against HIV and AIDS, and what educational initiatives are being promoted on World AIDS Day?
I think really education is key, really, to preventing the stigma from happening. So it's like, as well, to dispel the myths surrounding HIV. So like education on transmission and prevention is key, and also the myths surrounding it. Like, people still think you can contract it from a hug or a razor or a cup or things like that. It's all, if we can educate people and people understand that it's not contracted them ways, that might break down the stigma a little bit.
Yeah. And you yourself, your group, your support group, you're just devising some training, I believe, as well, to go out and deliver to organisations.
Yeah, we are. We've had all our training with the Terence Higgins Trust, who are the biggest organisation charity for HIV in the UK, and now in Europe as well. So we've had all our training from them, and we've just written this training, and it's just been, we're just waiting for it to come back from being accredited. So that's really exciting, because it's really, you know, it's passed everything that it has to have in it. So
yeah. And as Health Watch, I think from our perspective, we would be saying to organisations, please sign up, have the training.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've talked in depth about signs, symptoms, stigmas and everything else. But I do think it is really, really important that, you know, not just individuals and families, but professionals and groups and organisations that know very little about HIV and AIDS, they should really be signing up for all your training.
Yeah, and we have got a training day coming up on the 9th of December, so if anybody wants to come along to one of our first training days, they're more than welcome.
Brilliant. And again, we will share all that information afterwards.
Okay, thank
you. And we'll put that all on the website. So talking about testing and early detection, how is World AIDS Day used to promote the testing?
Well, again, it's advising people to get tested. I think yesterday they were testing outside, Access were out testing locally yesterday, I think it was in Warrington, with their bus, so they were testing, so you can go to the sexual health clinic, Access, they offer tests, or you can even order and test from SH24, which is an online sexual health testing. I know Terence Higgins send out tests, but again, it all depends how many they have, because they're for free, so and they only have a certain amount, and it all depends how far away you are, if there's any left for that day. But there's always, you can, you know, there's plenty of places that you can get tests from, but the sexual health clinic is the best place, because they do rapid HIV testing.
And in Halton, that is Access, isn't it?
It's Access, and it's based at Halton Hospital.
Right. Okay, so if anybody needs a test, head to Access first for getting any testing done. And just briefly talking about numbers, because even though there's a big stigma and a lot of people don't like to talk about it, we've discussed before about the numbers, and I believe the numbers are quite high HIV and the transmission.
They have risen. HIV iBase released new figures for 2023, and theirs was 53%. It's all on the internet. You can research the new figures.
The data, yeah.
Yeah. So it has risen a little bit. Quite a bit. But again, it's no longer it never really was, but it's not the gay disease as it was classed, as it was called all them years ago. Anyone can contract HIV. It doesn't take preference to anybody. Anybody can contract it.
Yeah, and I think that's something else that we spoke about is the amount of people, to use the word straight, who are actually contracting HIV. Young people think, as said, they have these myths about it being only within the gay population, but unfortunately it's not, is it?
It's not, no. And we had a talk with Dr. Rupert Whittaker, who was the co-founder of the Terence Higgins Trust, and at the talk he even said himself that, you know, it's not, it is escalating, on the rise, shall we say, but in the heterosexual community. So it is important to get tested.
So I would imagine at some point it's going to be treated as any other STI, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Going forward. Yeah. It seems that it's sort of developing that way. And because it's affecting everybody, it's going to be the norm.
Yeah. So, and again, it's like when I started this organisation, the amount of people that would say to me, "Oh, it's not around anymore. It's gone away now." You know, because it's not talked about. It needs to be talked about more, and you know, people to be educated more about it.
Yeah, I completely agree. So, as a final word on World AIDS Day, what message would you like to share with our listeners about the importance of World AIDS Day and how they can support the cause? And if you want to just go over again the details about Sunday.
Yeah, World AIDS Day is a call to action for everyone. Let's work together to end the stigma, support those affected and educate our communities. Your compassion and willingness to learn can make a difference. And again, if anybody would like to contact us for more information or want to know more about it, or again, would like to be tested, you can go to Access at Halton Hospital and be tested. But there's other sexual health clinics up and down the country and, you know, to be tested, so...
Yeah. But no, that's great. So thank you very much for all the information on that. We will be talking a little bit about Pride after our next song. So welcome back. We're going to move on now and we're going to talk a little bit about Pride in Halton, which is something, Hayley, I believe your group set up.
We wanted to give Halton a pride.
Yeah, and again, I have been and attended that, and it's an absolutely brilliant event. But can you tell our listeners what Pride, what does Pride mean to you and the LGBTQ plus community, and why it is still so important today?
Well, Pride is a celebration of love, identity and progress made by the LGBTQ plus community. But it's also a reminder of the ongoing fight for equality. It allows individuals to feel seen and heard and valued for who they truly are, creating a sense of belonging and empowerment. Again, it's about fostering solidarity, so coming together, everyone coming together, and challenges with stigma again, and you know, it's about being inclusive and showing visibility for the LGBTQ plus community.
And I know that on the Pride events that you've held in the past, they have been well supported by all ages, you know, all backgrounds, to the point where we will talk about new venues as well soon, won't we? So can you tell me what ways has Pride impacted awareness, understanding and acceptance of LGBTQ plus people in society?
Pride events have significantly contributed to raising awareness and promoting acceptance. They create visible platforms for the LGBTQ plus individuals to share their stories and challenging stereotypes. These events encourage allyship, they inspire changes and educate society, fostering a culture of inclusion. So again, it's a crucial role breaking down barriers and cultivating understanding, really.
Yeah. And I think from a personal point of view, if we look back again, how much it has come on, the inclusivity, you know, in the last 20, 30 years from where we used to be.
Yeah.
It's heading in the right direction.
Yeah, it
positivity
is.
All the way. So Pride is often celebrated in June, but how can people support LGBTQ plus rights year round?
Supporting LGBTQ plus year round means being an ally. So in everyday life, including advocating an inclusive policies, challenging discriminatory behaviours, supporting LGBTQ plus businesses. I was told the other day that I think Jaguar is now supporting LGBTQ plus communities, which is
But you would think with an organisation like Jaguar and the size of it,
it should already be doing that.
Yeah,
but I think all of a sudden they're putting it out there a little bit more. But it's about supporting and being open-minded and also standing together in solidarity.
Yeah, and hopefully the more businesses, if they're not already inclusive and supporting, they can do so going forward. So the last few years you've held your event at Norton Priory, but this year, or should I say next year, 2025, you're having a little bit of a change.
We are. This again is purely going off feedback from people that attended. I mean, it's been two fantastic years at Norton Priory, really, really brilliant events, and you know, we can't thank the staff enough for letting us hold Pride there. We took some evaluation forms and things, and people said they would like to see a more outdoor event, a bigger event, more of a, you know,
festival
type thing, but you know, with lots more going on and things. So we decided that we'd like to grow it year after year. So, and we've decided that next year we should try and expand a little bit and just put them wheels in motion.
And obviously, talking about the venue, are you sharing the venue yet, or are you still keeping that under wraps?
Well, we have got the new venue, but we haven't said yet, have we, where the new venue is going to be. That's not because we're being secretive or anything like that. It's just we're trying to build up the Pride so we can just do one big announcement and who we've got on and things like that. But it's still in Runcorn.
Still within the community.
Yeah, very much.
But it's going to be a lot bigger, better, and it can facilitate a lot more people, really, to where it's been held. But we're not allowed to say anymore on that. So, welcome back, listeners. And that was George Michael and Jesus to a Child from 1995. And I believe that has a special connection as well.
Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he wrote it for a friend who was HIV positive.
Right.
Yeah, so...
So we're coming into the final part of the show now. So I'm still going to be here till 2 o'clock. Hayley will probably be here till 2 o'clock as well. But this next part of the show, we're actually going to be talking about something that's really personal to yourself.
Yeah.
And about adjusting to life with a stoma.
Yeah.
Would you like to explain a little bit about how this initially impacted on you? How you initially felt about having a stoma and what helped you to adjust to life with it?
Yeah, well, my story began with my first stoma when I was 17. I'm 51 now, so I've lived quite a long time with stoma, more than I have without. When I was 17, I had to have emergency surgery. I was told I didn't need a stoma, but then during the surgery, it had to be done. So I woke up with a stoma, so I wasn't prepared or anything for that.
And a 17-year-old?
And 17,
it
yeah.
It must have been, well, I wouldn't have even know what to think.
Yeah, it was quite... It was a big thing, but I think because of my age as well, I think I blocked a lot of it out for a while. It was a bit tricky, really, because obviously it gave me my life back to how I was before, but then I had to learn to deal with this stoma and accept it. And I think for me, the biggest thing by accepting it made me... live with it easier, made life easier to live with it.
Yeah.
Well, I always say it lives with me. I let it live with me. But so accepting it was the big key. And in again, I was 17, so I didn't really... there was no counselling offered afterwards or anything like that. I think a lady came to... If I can remember rightly, a lady came out to see me once. But, and no disrespect, but she was, like, an elderly lady. And obviously, she just showed me some of her appliances that she used, and that was it. And then I didn't see anybody else. So it was a case of, like...
And I would imagine as well, obviously you said you were 17, so you're talking over 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And again, our technology's moved on.
Yeah.
I would imagine that things you was given and to prepare you and, you know, help you back then are completely different to today.
They are, yeah. I mean, I don't know, obviously I don't know what it's like now. I presume that patients would be offered counselling if they're struggling to come to terms with a stoma, because it is a big life-changing thing, you know. You go into surgery one day and then you come out of surgery and then you've got to adapt to living life with a bag, you know. And again, it's a very stigmatised thing, so some people... I think they're curious, really, but again, it's like that conversation, you know, it's very stigmatised, and do people want to share that with people?
Yeah, again, it's your disclosure, isn't it? It's personal to you. Yeah. And luckily for us today, you've wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
'Cause I know it is, well, there's lots of talk going on about stomas at the moment, 'cause I think it's on TV shows and everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
How they're trying to raise the profile. So can you tell me what are some of the challenges you faced with having a stoma, and how have you learned to manage with them over the years?
Well, challenges, really. I think with me, the first challenge was getting used to how to change it, look after it, and then... which I picked that up pretty quick. And then I think I've been lucky, really, because I just I thought to myself, I need to accept it. This is how I'm going to live. Mine was temporary at first, and then they had to have another one in 1999, which became permanent. So I'd already accepted that first one, and then I had to have it moved to a, you know, different area on my body and stuff. So I'd already accepted it anyway, and I just thought to myself, well, it has given me my life back to the degree where I don't have to keep going and finding a toilet every 2 minutes and things like that. But again, it's the stigma side. So I used to work for a company, and I'd only told certain people, but it had got out that I'd got a stoma. And then before I knew it, there was a petition going through the office for me not to use the same toilets as the rest of the staff in case they contracted something from me. So again, I mean, you're talking a long time ago, but still, it's, you know, things like that are damaging. So again, it's a stigma thing. So.
And you would think, I mean, even just to think that way, even if it was a long time ago, you just... It's a stoma. It's a, you know, it's a procedure that people have, and it just means that, you know, you're a little bit different than everybody else. But they wanted you to use different bathrooms.
And I mean, actually, a stomas are probably more hygienic than going to the bathroom conventional way.
So, Hayley, back to talking all things stoma. Having a stoma can sometimes affect one's body image. How has it impacted your self-image, and what advice would you give to others who may be struggling with this?
Well, initially, obviously, my body did take a bit of a hit after the operations and the healing process and things. And I worried about how I might look to others, or can you see it under your clothes and things like that. But over time, I learned that a stoma doesn't define who I am as a person. And then I just looked at, like, dressing styles, different ways, you know, that could hide it, or I know what I can and can't wear. But it doesn't really stop me from wearing anything. I'll wear what you know, what I feel comfortable in.
Yeah. So it doesn't stop you in any way, shape or form, really?
Not really, no. I mean, years ago, I would never, like, go on the beach in a bikini or anything like that because I didn't want... But I think now it wouldn't bother me because there's more people talking openly about it and going on holiday and having their stoma bag on show and things, you know. So, yeah, it probably wouldn't bother me now, but years ago it used to.
And you would think, especially now, when adverts and movies and things, they're all inclusive and they're showing everything and everyone, that they'd start incorporating that into their adverts, you know. A certain company's got a new bikini out and maybe show somebody with a stoma bag, you know, wearing that bikini.
I think there is a certain company that are... companies now that are showing models with stomas, so that's pretty good to see.
Excellent. So, like I say, like everything else, it's
evolving.
It's got that stigma, and it's moving on slowly. Yeah. So, this is a little bit personal now, but how has having a stoma influenced your relationships, social interactions, or dating life, and are there ways you found to make these areas easier? So, again, talking from your experience to maybe somebody young who's might be about to have that procedure done, or they've just had the procedure and they're starting out, and they think they're never going to get married, they're never going to meet anybody. What advice would you give them?
Well, obviously, I'm going back to when I first had mine, when I was 17. I wasn't even looking for a relationship or in a relationship. I was too young. I was too ill, you know, and stuff. But then afterwards, after having it, I thought, I'm never going to meet anybody. Who's going to want to be with me? Who's going to want, you know, to look at this or anything like that? But then after time, it's... Yeah, it is daunting when you first meet someone because then you're thinking, how am I going to tell them and stuff. But I think being open and honest, and if somebody is attracted to you and you're getting to know that person and they care for you, they're going to care for you whether you've got a stoma bag or not. And if they make, you know, not a very nice comment, or then are they really that person that you'd want to be with anyway? That's how I looked at it through life. But again, it doesn't define me. I'm me. I'm still Hayley. I just got a little friend, and he's part of the relationship as well.
So as long as the people that you meet are caring, compassionate, and they show empathy, and look out for somebody.
And we all want someone like that in our lives, don't we? You know.
Definitely. And that was Bad Moon Rising by Creedence Clearwater. And again, I think that had a little bit of a story behind it.
Yeah, one of the band members from Creedence Clearwater Revival, he had to have a back surgery and he contracted HIV through blood transfusion and he passed away from AIDS-related illnesses.
Right. So that was a connection there. So we're almost done for this afternoon. 20 minutes left of the show. And our last few questions for Hayley. And so, Hayley, can you tell me what kinds of support or resources have been the most helpful to you? And are there any you would recommend to others with a stoma?
The stoma nurses are paramount, really. They're really good for supporting you and making sure you're wearing the right appliances and things. Like I say, I don't know about whether there's counselling offered now. I don't know because it's a long time since I had my surgery. But there are organisations. You've got the Colostomy Association and you've got the Crohn's and Colitis UK. And then obviously if you're having a stoma surgery due to cancer, there's cancer support groups and things like that that would probably offer counselling in whatever capacity you needed it, whether it's for your cancer or for both really. So I think with me for the Crohn's and Colitis UK when I was younger, that helped with a lot of answers and things and the stoma nurse.
Yeah. So for anyone who's got any questions, get in touch with one of the support groups and get all your information from them.
I mean, we are looking at running a group within our organisation, but for people living with stoma. So it doesn't have to be HIV related, but I mean, there could be someone that's HIV positive and living with a stoma, you don't know, but it doesn't necessarily have to be HIV related. But because I've lived with one for so long, if anybody would like to come along, we're just trying to work out when we can fit it in and then they can come and have a chat.
Yeah. And again, obviously, because we're going to put your details on there, if it is a stoma related question that anybody might have, please do get in touch, you know, with Hayley. And so before our final question, we're going to play another one of Hayley's playlists. And this is Take It to the Limit, and it's the... So, Hayley, we're almost at the end of our show now. And just to finish off, what message or advice would you share with other women who may be facing the prospect of having a stoma?
Well, it's okay to feel scared and uncertain. It's a big change. But remember, having a stoma doesn't take away your femininity, your identity, or your ability to live a full life. Be patient with yourself as you adjust and lean on the resources that are available. And just really, it's even though you're having this life-changing thing happening, you're still you. And it doesn't define you, and you're still the same person you was before, and you're still this, you know, all women are worthy, and we're all lovely, and just be you, keep being yourself.
Absolutely fantastic, and I agree with every word of that. So just be you, and don't let it take over.
Yeah.
Keep your identity. And enjoy life to the full.
Yeah.
So now we're at the end of the show. Just going back over a little bit what we spoke about World AIDS Day.
Yeah.
Do you want to just remind people again before we finish the show where you're going to be on Sunday?
Yeah, on Sunday we're going to be at St Andrew's Church in Linkway in Runcorn. The vigil starts at 6:45, so we're meeting about 6:30 to light candles outside the church first, and then we'll head into the church and the vigil will start at 7. There'll be performance, live music, there'll also be readings, and there'll be a chance for people to remember a loved one on the angel wings to put on the light up tree.
Brilliant. And they say, please do go along and support the event. If no one has been before, it is a very moving it's great to be a part of. And some people around Halton, we was talking earlier, might have noticed some additions round and about. So there has been additions to the town hall in Runcorn, the bandstand at the Heath Park, and Grangeway Community Centre, and those additions have been red ribbons in solidarity for World AIDS Day. And I believe you're going to be putting some Widnes as well.
Yeah, in Victoria Park on the bandstand.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So again, if you see those, if you get a chance to wear a red ribbon, please do so on Sunday. All I am left to do now is say thank you very much, Hayley.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. And especially for talking so openly about your own personal experiences as well with stoma.